It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
All right, boys and girls, we are back with a bonus edition of the Ben Domenech podcast. Today, we're going to be talking to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who had a big announcement this week regarding what he plans to do with the flood of migrants that people expect to see coming over our southern border in the coming month as the Biden administration lifts Title 42, a key policy that had kept migrants from coming in the norm in the numbers that we had seen historically, in part because of the different requirements of them when they arrived. The argument for Title 42 was based on COVID and was, you know, really trying to avoid putting all of these different migrants in facilities where they would be crammed on top of each other and where the possibility of spreading COVID was increased significantly. There was pressure from the moment that Joe Biden was elected president from his left wing within the Democratic Party to pull Title 42 down and to allow this type of flood of migrants that, frankly, many in Congress, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, including senators like Robert Menendez of New Jersey, they're totally fine with that. That's not something that Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott is fine with. It's something that he has some significant problems about. And we talked to him about the way that he is planning to deal with it in Texas and how he plans to bring the migrant problem to Washington, D.C.'s doorstep. Texas Governor Greg Abbott coming up next.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
Governor Abbott, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today. Tell me a little bit about what your announcement entailed yesterday regarding what you're planning to do with the sea of migrants that everyone expects to be seeing flooding across the border.
Well, first, to put this in context, and Texas has been grappling with a record amount of people coming across the border illegally, and we've done things like add 10,000 National Guard and DPS troopers. We've apprehended more than 200,000 illegal migrants already, arresting more than 11,000, including cartel members, drug smugglers, and cop killers, seizing fentanyl and building a border wall. But what we have found is when you look at the incredible numbers still coming across the border, and when you consider the elimination of the Title 42 protections that were keeping migrants out of the United States, we're going to see an even greater tidal wave. And as a result, Texas is going to have to step up and do even more. We announced several things yesterday. We will be announcing more things next week about strategies that Texas is using so that Texas is going to be able to push back even harder against illegal immigration coming across the border. One of which is a zero tolerance policy for unsafe vehicles for smuggling migrants across the border. What's happening in that regard is when vehicles come across the border from Mexico, once they make through the international checkpoint, they are in the state of Texas. And at that point in time, the state of Texas has the authority to inspect every vehicle, especially the commercial vehicles, to determine if they're going to be safe for the road, but also to have the opportunity to see if they have people in there that they're smuggling. Ben, it's very important for the audience to know that all these different types of commercial vehicles, many of them contain bodies in there that the cartels are working with the truck drivers to smuggle people across the border. They've been found in some of the most unique ways that they've been stuck into these vehicles. That's unsafe for the people. That's unsafe for the drivers. It's unsafe for the vehicles. It's unsafe to have people like that on the road. One thing that we've had in excess in Texas, we've had a lot of chases where these drivers of these vehicles start driving recklessly along the road once police begin to try to track them down and arrest them for smuggling people across the border. The best way to stop all of that is for us to do inspections right at the border. The second thing that we're doing is we are deploying an incredibly large number of buses to move the migrants once they've come across the border. After they come across the border, the United States Border Patrol They go through the processing process, and then they are dumping these illegal immigrants into various different regions. It could be in the Brownsville area, McAllen area, or upstream in Del Rio and places like that, in communities that have zero capability of being able to accommodate or deal with or do anything with regard to the illegal immigrants that the Biden administration is dumping. And so we are going to be putting these people that the Biden administration is dumping into local communities on buses or planes and taking them to Washington, D.C. You know, if Biden is not going to come to the border, we're going to take the border to Biden so that they will understand exactly what Texas is grappling with.
So let me talk about the logistics there, because, you know, I certainly think there was a wave of response to this from Capitol Hill yesterday and staffers who are concerned about it. What made you decide to do this kind of thing to try to finally get some attention for what's been going on at the border and force this in front of their faces?
The critical point was what's happened over the past couple of weeks, where the Biden administration has increasingly been dropping off a high volume of these illegal immigrants that the Border Patrol has already processed, and just leaving them in communities, dropping them off with no organization whatsoever. But before the past couple of months, the Biden administration, maybe they were doing this themselves, moving some of these migrants across the entire country, things like that. You've heard stories about that. And it seemed like they had some other type of game plan, but for the past month or so, we've seen the only game plan they have is to dump them off in the state of Texas. And I'm not sure what you're referring to with regard to people in Capitol Hill. And I saw that it did ruffle some feathers, but you know what it shows, if we're talking about the same thing, it shows that the members of Congress have a not-in-my-backyard type attitude. They're more than fine to have this happen along the Texas border and make Texas grapple with it. It's time for the people in Washington, D.C. to have to grapple with this problem themselves.
There's a real tight sort of problem here for President Biden, given that his left flank has wanted him to get rid of Title 42 since basically day one, and they've been frustrated by it. The White House has used COVID as an excuse and the like. But in terms of the ramifications of it, do you believe that outside of Texas and other border states that America really understands what we're in for in terms of the significant wave that experts are predicting?
I'll be candid with you, Ben. I think that even people in Texas and Arizona and other similar states don't yet have a full understanding of the magnitude about what we're about to deal with. But the reason is, here's the math. According to the Department of Homeland Security, they're predicting that with the elimination of Title 42, there could be as many as 18,000 illegal immigrants apprehended coming across the border every day. I say apprehended because there will be more than that, some of whom will not be apprehended. But using those numbers, it leads to this astonishing figure. If that is repeated every day, there's going to be more than 6 million people coming across the border over the next year. And that is a flow of illegal immigrants that is non-processable, incomprehensible, and would cause a cataclysm and catastrophe across the United States, a country, even the United States of America, that is unprepared for this amount of illegal immigration.
In terms of your response you've gotten, if any, from the White House when you've tried to raise these concerns to the administration authorities and those who have responsibility over this area, do they just ignore you? Do they treat you with contempt on this or ignore your complaints? What's the response that you've gotten from them?
So at lower levels in either the White House or Department of Homeland Security, they've been making calls to my chief of staff and trying to say, listen, they want to work with us to try to, make sure that immigration laws are handled appropriately, which is nothing but BS, because they're doing absolutely nothing to enforce and apply the immigration laws passed by the United States Congress. Whenever they call us and talk to us about it, we said, we want you to do one thing, enforce the law. And they always hem and haw around it and talk about other things. But the one thing that Biden administration and the officials that we talk to, they always will never commit to is fully enforcing the immigration laws of the United States of America. But so, Ben, one thing I want to make sure that you know, but also your audience knows, and that is Texas has been fighting and winning on these issues in court, because on both the Title 42 issue as well as the Remain in Mexico policy, we filed lawsuits requiring the Biden administration to keep those programs in place. As we're talking today, the Remain in Mexico policy remains in place because Texas was able to legally require that. The Title 42 policy, the Biden administration was able to get around and now begin the process of eliminating it come May 23rd. But we will continue to fight against the Biden administration. It's kind of strange because, you know, we're fighting two battles. Texas is fighting a battle against cartels who are bringing these people across the border. And the same time, we're facing a battle on a different front, and that is the Biden administration that is acting as an accomplice to assist cartels bringing people across the border illegally. It is outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Let's go out on this. You know, I think you mentioned the cartels, and that's an aspect of this that receives far too little attention, in my view, in the coverage that these issues receive nationally. They don't act as if they're aware of what's going on south of the border in terms of the organizational capacity that these cartels have, or the control that they use on their side of the border, as opposed to ours. Tell me a little bit about what you believe every American should know about the system that is behind the transportation of these migrants, about what goes on within it, and about the level to which this is going to put more money in their pockets.
So somewhere between 99% and 100% of the people who come across the border illegally, they do so only with the aid and assistance of the cartels, and they're paying with money, both before and after they cross the border. Some of them are paying with their bodies by being abused, women forced to provide sex, children who are being sexually abused and assaulted, some of whom don't even make it through the process alive. And so this is horrific what the cartels are doing. And for the Biden administration not to step up and stop the cartels from what they're doing, the Biden administration is an accomplice to human trafficking, to drug smuggling, to people being raped and assaulted by this open invitation to cross the border. And that alone should tarnish any record that the Biden administration has, because it is devastating to humanity what the Biden administration is causing.
Greg Abbott, thank you so much, Governor, for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
It was good talking with the Texas governor about this situation. It's one that has changed a great deal over the past couple of decades, and I wanted to give you just a little bit of insight in terms of the way that it's changed. You may remember during the George W. Bush years, the conversation surrounding potential guest worker bills, the measures that were going to be put into place that would basically be something that would allow migrant workers who were desired by American agriculture as inexpensive workers who would come over seasonally to help harvest crops and the like, who, you know, basically were crossing the border illegally, staying in America for a certain amount of time, sending money back home to their families, and then eventually going back home. That's something that's happened on our southern border for a very long time. You remember the likes of Cesar Chavez and other union organizers who actually were the strongest opponents of these migrant workers, even, you know, embarking on escapades that resulted in violence and the like along the border, in an attempt to keep them out and discourage them from coming over. They were people who were disliked both by the American worker and union organizations and were liked generally by big business, because this was the type of agricultural seasonal worker who would come over for a certain amount of time and then go home. They were overwhelmingly, you know, younger men, and they tended to come from Mexico. This is the type of thing that had been going on for a very long time, and it was the circumstances under which previous immigration steps were taken, such as you may be familiar with Ronald Reagan's approach to this. You may be familiar with some of the steps that were taken during the 1990s and things along those lines. And the early 2000s saw the beginnings of a change within this space that would ultimately lead to a completely different circumstance. I was around during the debates over this in the mid-2000s when I was working for the Texas Senator John Cornyn, who was part of both the discussions surrounding any attempt to engage in immigration reform, and certainly was a key figure on that in his early days in the Senate. We did multiple border trips together from Brownsville to El Paso and back, and met with all sorts of border officials and the like to see how they handled things. And back then, you know, most of the migrants that they were processing were not women and children in family units. They were men who were coming here to make a living and send money back home in an environment where they could frankly make a lot more money working in America for a short amount of time than they could back in Mexico. And this was a fundamentally different problem than what we face today, almost 20 years later, where you have a migrant push that is not just not primarily young males from Mexico, but it is also being fueled by the interests of the Mexican cartels that now stretch in terms of their power well into Central America and beyond. These cartels found within the population of Central America in particular a significant demand, a potential marketplace for them where they could, you know, go to these people who were in desperate circumstances there, offer them the potential of life in America, and then be paid off either through money that the families scrimp together and save in Central America, or more often a combination of money that is paid them there and then that they have to continue to repay once they arrive in America. That's a circumstance that's fundamentally different, and it results in a fundamentally different population being transported to the southern border and over it, involving lots of young women and children, people who are ripe for exploitation and abuse. And you end up with a situation that is fundamentally very different than what you had before. Whereas the young men who were being transported were essentially the people who were going to come back and had those connections. These people are often trying to get their entire families over and all at once. And then they know once they're over, anybody that they leave behind can be used essentially as ransom against them, that they have to send money back home and that they'll be tracked and that there will be consequences, perhaps bloody consequences for their families if they don't live up to the bargain that they've struck with these cartels. So whenever you think about the potential of these immigrant developments to have a nasty effect on America, you should also keep in mind the nasty effect that they're having on Mexico, which is essentially becoming a failed narco state by many measures across our southern border. And with that comes enormous threats to the American people and to the stability of the border region. If you have cartels that exercise more control on their side of the border than we are able to exercise with our government-funded agents and the like on ours, then that's a real problem. And it creates a number of negative effects. You saw the likely stories in the most recent Mexican elections where you routinely would have politicians running for office who might promise reform agendas getting assassinated or just disappeared, some of them in broad daylight. And that's because the cartels feel that they have the power to fight with impunity. There's even been open battles between cartel forces and government officials and police, where the police and the government are outgunned by the cartels and ultimately lose. That's not a sign of a stable regime. And it's one of the reasons why the Mexican people and these folks from Central America view the cartels as being the power brokers in the region in a way that they don't view these governments as having any real authority. In order to have any kind of hope of resolving this problem long term, you can't have a Mexican government that is incapable of functioning. It needs to be able to be stronger, and it needs to be able to stand up to these cartels in a sustained way. And yet, unfortunately, the policies that we've engaged in, both under the Obama administration and now under the Biden administration, are designed not to speak to humanity or to value the lives of the people who are being trafficked. It's much more something that in a very short-sighted and backwards fashion ends up putting more and more dollars and resources into the pockets of the cartels, strengthening them at exactly the time when it ought to be American policy to seek out their weakness and to prevent them from being able to exploit these migrant people in the ways that have turned in such a profit for them. These are malevolent forces that do not have America's interests at heart. They flood us with drugs that destroy our communities and that kill us. In the case of fentanyl, they are, absolutely opposed to any kind of governmental reform efforts that would lead to their abilities being restricted. And they are very happy to exploit the desires of families and young people, of mothers and fathers trying to get their kids to a better life in order to make a buck. And that's something that I think we all need to recognize and we all need to be aware of. And unfortunately, our political elite has convinced themselves that it's a much more humanitarian project to allow for these types of trafficking incidents to occur over and over and over again to the tune of thousands in a single day, as opposed to trying to reform this policy in ways that would actually result in a better life for the people and a better and more stable situation on our southern border. I'm Ben Domenech. You've been listening to another edition of the Ben Domenech Podcast. We'll be back soon with more and dive back into the fray. Until then, take care.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.